How do we persevere? How do we stick with it even when it's tough? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. We're nearing the end of our series on the New Testament book of James, and this discussion series has been great. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have walked us through the book verse by verse, and now we're up to chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. I'm going to come back at the end of the broadcast to tell you how to get your hands on some of our free resources, but as for now, let's jump right into the discussion with Bob and Sean. Here's Grace in Focus.
We're so glad that you're listening to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're nearing the end of the Epistle of James, this series. You can listen to previous episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, at our website, certainly, faithalone.org. We're in chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. The structure of James comes to us from chapter 1, verse 19.
Yeah, 19 and 20 say, be quick to hear. I think that's 121 to 226. Slow to speak. I think that's chapter 3. Slow to wrath, that's 4:1 to 5:6. I think 5:7 to the end of the book is the epilogue. Now, you could argue some of this fits under that third section, but I think chapter 5, verse 7 through verse 20 is all part of the epilogue.
Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. What is this? Is this the rapture? Is this the second coming, I guess, or that's really two parts of the same event?
The Greek word here is parousia. It's almost become an English word in evangelical circles. People who don't even know Greek will talk about the parousia. But notice the coming is going to be several places here. It's in verse 7. Parousia occurs again in verse 8. Verse 9 talks about it in terms of the judges standing at the door, which again is looking at it. My answer to your question is yes.
Yeah,
this is both the rapture and the second coming. It seems to me that seven-year time period, which begins with the rapture and ends with the second coming, is all the parousia. That's the coming of the Lord. Some passages emphasize the rapture part of it. Some emphasize the Armageddon part of it. Some the whole 7 years. But I think here he's primarily looking at the rapture, and I think it's clear from verses 7 to 11, he's thinking of the judgment seat of Christ, when we'll appear before Christ and be evaluated as believers.
And back in verse 3, he talked about the last days, so he's thinking these are the last days.
Right, and I forgot to mention when we were on verse 3, when James says we're in the last days, and John says the same thing, right? In 1 John, my little children, it's the last days.
Right.
They weren't wrong. It was the last days 2,000 years ago, and it's the last days today. This is the biblical doctrine of imminence. The Lord could return at any time. He could have returned in James's day. He didn't, but he could have. He could have returned in the second century or any century after that, and he certainly can return in the 21st century, and we expect he will, but it's uncertain exactly when he's returning because he's coming, as he himself said, like a thief in the night, so we don't exactly know the day or the hour.
Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So we need to be like farmers, right? We need to be patient.
And Paul uses the same language when he says the hardworking farmer is the one that receives the first fruits of the crops. We're to be like farmers, and the picture of farmers are hardworking people. In fact, I have a number of friends in Nebraska. They tell me that a lot of the major companies will go to Nebraska to hire college graduates or even high school graduates who grew up on farms because their experience has been farm workers make great employees in any company because they're always going to work hard. They have a work ethic they've learned on the farm.
So you also be patient. Verse 8, establishing your hearts for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So that's that imminency.
Yeah, notice be patient. Verse 7, be patient. Verse 8. The coming of the Lord, verse 7, the coming of the Lord is verse 8. So again, it's imminency. It's the idea that our behavior now should be lived in light of Jesus' soon coming. Every day I should be thinking, my Lord might come today. And that should impact what I say, what I do, all the choices that I make, because I'm wanting to have an eternal impact for Christ, and I want what I do to last.
That's what should establish our hearts, not these human plans that we have here and there to go to this place or that place that he was talking about in earlier verses. What we should be establishing our hearts is this prophetic timetable that the Lord has set, where the Lord is coming back. We are going to see him, and we should live in light of that coming.
Yeah, in fact, where James is going now in the next verse is talking about something we shouldn't do, because in light of the fact that the Lord's coming at any time, we don't want him to find us being grumblers when he returns.
Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Sometimes my kids will be in their room and the door will be closed and I'll hear squabbling, you know, fighting, and I'll dramatically open the door and suddenly everyone will stop and look at me with just the most guilty looks on their faces. And we don't want to have that look when Jesus comes back, right?
That's exactly right. And notice he calls them brethren in both verse 7 and verse 9. He's stressing the fact he's writing to believers. It's not enough to do it once. Now he's doing it again. And then again in verse 10. So he's piling on the references to the coming of Christ, to the need for patience, right, to calling them brethren. And he calls Jesus the judge. In the New King James, it's capital J.
By the way, because they're believers, we know what kind of judgment this is not. This is not a judgment as to whether or not they are really saved.
Absolutely.
Or where they're going to go for eternity, because Jesus said that once you believe in him, you have passed from judgment. You have eternal life. You pass from death to life, and you pass out of judgment. So your eternal destiny has already been decided. The kind of judgment here is a judgment of rewardability.
And when he says, don't murmur or grumble against one another in order that you might not be condemned, the Greek word is really judged. This doesn't mean condemnation as in the sense of eternal condemnation. It means judgment. We're going to be judged by Christ when he returns. He's the judge. He's at the door. At the door means probably the door of human history. He's about to open the door and come in. And that's been true for 2,000 years. And when he does, the judgment seat of Christ is going to occur. He's going to evaluate us. And so we don't want to be rebuked at the judgment seat of Christ for grumbling and complaining, but we want to be people who are encouraging and loving one another and helping one another. We've seen earlier in the book that all of the law is basically fulfilled in loving your neighbor as yourself.
Right. Verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets, so we're supposed to take them as examples, right?
Right.
Who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And this is very appropriate that he's talking to the prophets, because James is talking about prophecy, the prophecy of the second coming.
Right.
And so the prophets didn't always see what they prophesied. They didn't see it right away.
I just finished reading through Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a very tumultuous time. The people of Israel were angry with him because he was pronouncing judgment. They actually threw him in prison, nearly killed him, and he had lots of difficulties. And you'll remember that Elijah fought with the 400 prophets of Baal. It was a great victory, but then he ran and became depressed and was despairing of life. All the prophets learned endurance and learned the need for patience.
Well, Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills all the prophets.
Right.
Their lives didn't always end well.
No, that's right. You know? And by the way, notice patience occurs in 7, patience occurs in 8, now patience is again in verse 10. James is hitting certain themes over and over and over again here to get our attention. You know, we talk about the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. I wrote my master's thesis on that. And that's basically the Reformed idea that if you're truly born again, you will persevere in faith and good works. That's not true. What is true is if we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, at the judgment seat of Christ, then we will endure in faith and good works. You see, the believer may fail. But if the believer fails, the believer is still secure. Paul said, if we endure, we will reign with him, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we deny him, he will deny us. That is, he will deny us the privilege of ruling with him. But he says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And so God is faithful to us, and James is writing within this context, recognizing the Lord has given us examples of the prophets, and we should follow those examples.
Verse 11, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Job was fabulously wealthy, and he was very, very pious and blameless and upright, and he shunned evil, and he did what was right, and even God noticed him. But what happened? Job lost all of his riches in order to test his faith, which is what James is all about, to see if really he did serve God for nothing. That might happen to us. You know, we might go through a tremendous amount of suffering, and we need to look at Job and the other prophets as examples of endurance through suffering.
I like this expression, the perseverance of Job. Job is a difficult book to understand in many ways because his friends are not really very good friends, and a lot of the comments they make are wrong. But the overriding experience of Job is one of patience. That's what we're called to have. All the way through verses 7 through 11, there's a repetition of the need for patience. And if we follow the example of Job, then we're blessed to endure. And remember, we've been talking about the choices before us are blessing and cursing. Blessing in this life, cursing in this life. Blessing at the judgment seat of Christ, cursing at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, of course, at the judgment seat of Christ, we won't be cursed, but we can be rebuked. We can experience shame. You and I are called to be people who endure. We're called to be patient. As we see the difficulties in this life, we're not to quit, but we're to remember, my Savior's coming. He's coming any day now. We need to live in light of His parousia, His soon coming, because we know He is our Lord. He's our Savior, and He's our Judge, and we long to please Him. We long to have His approval.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that great conversation about James 5, 7 through 11. If their conversations leave you wanting more, which I know they do, I hope you'll take advantage of some of our free resources that we have available on faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Specifically, along with this series in James, we're offering a free ebook. It's called The Epistles of James, a shorter commentary by Zane Hodges. To get it, you can go to faithalone.org/ebooks. That's faithalone.org/ebooks. You can download it right there and you can follow along. Now, you may be saying, well, but this is the end of this series. How could I listen to the whole series? No problem. We've got you covered. To do that, you can listen through podcast. You can get that on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, but you can also listen to previous episodes right there on faithalone.org. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources, like our blog posts, our Bible study materials, even a free magazine that you can get a subscription to. Comes out 6 times a year, full color, beautifully laid out. We really believe that a free subscription to our magazine could help you out. You can get all that and much more at faithalone.org. Hope you'll take advantage of that. You may even feel led to become a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If that's the case, we would very much appreciate it. All gifts are tax deductible, and you can find out how to do that right there on faithalone.org. In addition to all this, you may want to reach out to us and ask a question or give some feedback. If that's the case, I'll give you our email address. We'd love to hear from you. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We certainly hope to hear from you. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to wrap up our series on James as we look at James 5, 12 through 20. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.